Hello, New Life family, those that are in Tidewater and all around the world. Pastor Dan here. Thanks for joining us on the third Sunday of the church lockdown, our quarantine. And I pray that God's grace has been with you and your family. I want to do some quick shout-outs before we go into the Word of God today. And today's message, I think, is going to be applicable to every family and every single. And I hope that you stay involved with that. But some quick shout-outs. I want to, first of all, do a quick shout-out to Kayla in Virginia Beach, who's missing her senior graduation. And I promised her I'd do a shout-out to her and all the other seniors in high school and the seniors in college that are missing your senior activities. I know it's not fun, but it's a small price to pay for the safety of our nation. So God bless you. Another shout-out to all those that are joining us from England online. Some are joining us from China online. Some are joining us from Jordan and India, Germany, South Africa, and the Philippines. And I also want to do a quick shout out to my brother Mark and Freeba in Vancouver, British Columbia, who are joining us today as well. And hello to all of our New Life family here and abroad and all of our missionaries serving the Lord around the world. Today's message is entitled, Jesus is Present. Jesus is Present, and it's in this Lenten theme of Jesus is. And we've talked about Jesus as the Lamb of God, Jesus as a refuge, and Jesus as our treasure. Now today we're going to talk about Jesus is present. The idea is he's present tense, he's with you now, he's not far off in heaven ignoring you, his spirit is with every person who calls upon the name of the Lord. He is with you in your living room or your car or wherever you might be hearing this message. And the subtitle, the byline for the message today is Healing in the Lord's Supper. And the reason that's the byline is Jesus' presence comes to us in the sacrament, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, in a powerful, unique way to provide healing and protection through the partaking of bread and wine, unlike any other worship event that you can engage in. I think you'll find today's message encouraging. A number of years ago, many of you know that I was diagnosed with cancer, and part of Rhonda's and my approach to healing was, of course, corporate prayer, individual prayer, eating right, of course, doing the doctoring that I was asked to do, claiming the promises of God, and so forth. But one of the secrets for my ability to persevere in those days, and now today I have such a good report from the doctor, I believe is that we began, my wife and I began to partake of the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. Not every day, but certainly several times a week. We would commune together, primarily in the evening in our living room, and we would commune each other and proclaim the blessings of God in the communion elements over one another. And that so fortified my faith, and I received such a touch from God each time that I believe that played a significant role in my own healing and journey towards health. In this pandemic, I know there's two big concerns. Everyone has a concern about their health or the health of a loved one, a grandparent, a parent, and there's financial concerns. Well, the Lord's your treasure. He'll help you. He'll meet your needs financially, and he's also your healer. And he promises to give healing, protection, and health to those that call on his name. Our journey as a church here at New Life has been to reanalyze the importance of the sacraments in the worship life of our church. Most spirit-filled churches rely so heavily on singing to bring the presence of God. Some churches rely heavily on preaching to bring the presence of God, a touch from God, the revelation of God. And both of those, of course, are powerful. But there's a third leg of the stool, if you will, and that is that God uses sacrament, physical things that he anoints to be a conduit between heaven and earth, a portal of grace. And one of the primary sacraments is the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. And some traditions would call it the Eucharist. This third leg of worship, singing, the word, and then sacrament, is a full-orbed worship experience. And each of them have a role to play in God's presence coming into your life. So in my message today, I want to show you that healing was in the Old Covenant in the Passover observance. And that has translated into the New Covenant with better promises than in the Old Covenant. The Bible says that it was the Passover night that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He had gathered his disciples. They were celebrating Passover. They'd come from all parts of Israel, had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. Jesus was with his 12 disciples, of which one would betray him. And while he's partaking of this meal, the last meal he was going to have with him, he basically says to them, this Passover meal from this night on is going to be reconfigured. The old covenant Passover is done. Now a new kind of meal is going to be instituted. And that's what we've come to know as the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. In Exodus chapter 12, describing, the first Passover, it says in verse 5 that they were to get a lamb that was without blemish. Let me give you the backdrop. Joseph had gone to Egypt. His family then joined him sometime after that. And years after that, they multiplied to almost an uncountable number. It threatened Pharaoh and he put them all into slavery. And probably 2 million slaves then, coming from the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, cried out to God. And God sent them a deliverer in the man of Moses. But Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go. And so there were 10 demonstrations of the power of God that Pharaoh had to acknowledge that there was something supernatural happening until the 10th one finally got his attention and the Pharaoh let God's people go. And that final thing that happened was that a death angel went all over Egypt and the firstborn of every family and the firstborn of all livestock died. And that would be called, we would call that a pandemic, a plague, a pestilence. But the Lord knew that and he said, but there is a way for you to be protected. So he says to his people, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get a lamb without blemish. Of course, this is foreshadowing Jesus, the Lamb of God, perfectly. And then in verse 7, it says, you should take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night. Now here again, in the Old Covenant, they're foreshadowing a new covenant. They're instituting the Passover meal, which Jews even today observe. And in the Passover meal, the Paschal lamb is central to the meal. And it says here that they're to take the blood of that lamb on this very first night. Here comes the death angel. The plague is beginning. They take the blood and they put it on their home. And that blood is going to be the difference between living and dying, between being sick and being healthy. Verse 13 goes on to say, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, when I see the blood, we love to sing that song. There's power in the blood. When I plead the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And get this, I want you to see this. I know you're in living rooms and cars and in offices all around the world. I want you to see what it says here. It says, and no plague. No plague. It doesn't say a plague, the plague, this plague. No plague. No plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Verse 27. Later, people, the children of Israel, are going to ask their parents, why do we observe this Passover meal once a year with unleavened bread and bitter herbs and the Paschal lamb? And it says, you shall say to them, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, and he struck the Egyptians but spared our houses. Spared our houses. Mom and dad, pray over your family. God spares your house. Doesn't say they gathered in big assemblies. They gathered in houses, just like we're gathering during this pandemic. They gathered in houses. They applied the blood. The death angel passed over. And from that day on, once a year they remember the day that the death angel saw the blood and passed over, and the people bowed their heads and worshiped. It says in Exodus 23, the Lord says to Moses, "Now I want you to practice these feasts every year, and in so doing, I will take away sickness from among you." This was the watershed event of the Old Testament. The Exodus is the main thing of the Old Testament. And in the main thing of the Old Testament, there is a promise that when the blood is applied, the plague stops, the death angel passes over, and your house is protected. Now in Christ, the Bible says we have a new covenant based on a better promises than the old covenant. So if in the old covenant you had the promise of protection and health, how much more in the new covenant would it be available to us to have a better promise than that? It says in the New Testament that Jesus is our Passover. The link between Jesus and the Lamb, Jesus and the Passover, is irrefutable. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul speaking about the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the Lord's table. This Passover event of the Old Testament has been redefined, reimagined by the Lord Jesus, brought in from a time of the law now to a time of grace. This new understanding of Passover, he says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." Now this is what the Apostle Paul got by divine revelation. He didn't get this by talking to Christians. Remember, Paul was late to the faith, well behind the disciples. He got this by direct revelation from God himself. It says, "And I received from the Lord Jesus, and I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body.'" That's such a key concept, that the bread is said to be, "This is his body." Not likened unto, like in a parable, but it seems to be more direct than that. John chapter 6 says, "If we eat his flesh, we shall live," and that the bread is his flesh. There's a direct correlation here between the bread and the body of the Lord. It says here that, "This is my body, which is for you." For you, there's plural, is for the whole body of Christ. There's plenty to go around. It says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And I'm going to talk to you in a second about that word remembrance. It doesn't mean remember it. It means to re-present it, to re-acknowledge and re-experience it. Verse 25 says, "In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is in the new covenant in my blood.'" A link between blood and wine here. "Do this as often as you drink it." Again, it says, "In remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And in a moment, I'll tell you what that proclaiming implies. Matthew 26, as well as the other synoptic gospels, all record the Last Supper. And Matthew adds this phrase. It says here, "It's the blood of a new covenant which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." So where Paul says new covenant, Matthew says a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Verse 27, continuing in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "Whoever therefore, having this great promise," so this is Christ's body, this is Christ's blood, it's a new covenant here. It says, "With these promises, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord." It's not meant to scare us. It's meant really to encourage us. This is really something substantial. It's not like we're singing a song or we're going to read a book or we're going to wear a cross. around our neck. It says, this is an encounter with God. It's like Ananias and Sapphira. Their giving of an offering to the Lord could have been a holy, good thing, but they turned it into something selfish, and there was a judgment that followed them. It says, verse 28, let a person therefore examine himself or herself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. This examining will have a lot to do with, am I in faith? Have I put my trust in Christ? Am I relying on my own good works? Am I following the Lord? Am I loving my neighbor as Jesus has told me to love my neighbor? That's how you examine yourself. It's not weird. It's not mystical. It's not heavy. It's taking into account that I'm a sinner and God is alone holy. Verse 29 then says this, for anyone, I love that, anyone who eats and drinks can either have a blessing or, without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why, I want you to see that. That is why. That is why many of you are weak and ill and some have died. That sounds like a pandemic. Many weak, ill, and died. That describes Italy. That describes Germany. That describes parts of America. That describes China. Many are weak, ill, and die. Now, am I saying that a pandemic is the judgment of God? I'm not saying that. What this is implying here is this. When we partake of the elements the right way, in faith, that is, it's not the mechanics of it. It's in faith, in Christ. When we partake of the bread and the wine in faith in Christ, there's like a canopy over us of healing, of health, of protection. Now, occasionally a missile gets through. We have to acknowledge that. But in a general way of thinking, there's a protection over my home, over my family, over my children, over our church. But when we disregard the Lord's Supper and we consider it less than holy, when we're not loving our neighbor, when we're not in union with Christ, it's as if the canopy is taken away and we are now open to the elements of a fallen world, which leads to pandemics and things like being weak and being ill and dying. So it's not so much God causing, but man removing the blessing of Holy Communion, the blessing of the local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, in describing the Lord's Supper, it has a powerful verse. It says this, this cup of blessing that we bless, is it not, a participation, koinonia, communion, fellowship. This is this powerful Greek word. The word koinonia literally, I shouldn't say literally, basically means a deep shared life. A deeply shared life. That's koinonia. Two people can have koinonia. A group can have koinonia. We're to have koinonia with God. A deeply shared life. The New Testament describes the early church having a deeply shared life. And the Lord is saying here, it says, don't you know that when we take the cup and we bless it and we drink of the juice or the wine, that we are coming into a deeply shared life with Christ? Is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Not just claiming it, singing about it, or praying about it, but it's a participation in it. The bread that we break, is it not a participation? Koinonia is the word again. A deeply sharing in the body of Christ. Think about it. The body of Christ was beaten. He received stripes on his back. Why? The Bible says, so that we might be healed. Isaiah 53. It's clear. Perfectly clear. His body was bruised and crushed for our iniquities, our sin. And his body was whipped with many a stripe, so we can have physical healing in our body. His body was given in exchange for my body. His blood, the Bible says there's life in the blood. His blood was poured out that I could have his life in my blood. Churches for 1,500 years have used this phrase. It says, in communion there's forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. I think lots of churches focus on the forgiveness of sin. Praise the Lord. They focus on salvation, praise the Lord. But the early church believed that there was actual life in the Lord's Supper. That somehow in it there was a mystery, not magic, a mystery that Christ's personal presence came and did a miracle. Now, as we summarize the scripture, I want to give you four truths. It's kind of a progression, so you today with me can fully enjoy the Lord's Supper and receive healing and deliverance, provision and hope. Down in your soul, there could be a joy replacing fear. And we get it by communing with God through the elements. There are four words here. We have to understand that communion causes a manifestation. That manifestation causes us to remember something, someone. Then we participate in something at a very deep level, a real level, a metaphysical thing happens. We participate. And the fourth thing is that at the end, we make proclamation of what God has done. This first one, manifestation. In the Lord's Supper, the Lord is present. The Lord's personal presence comes to us in the act of communion. I don't think anybody that's a Christian would deny that Jesus is real. But you don't see him. I can't touch him today. But the Lord says, I'm going to give you an act of worship called Holy Communion where you're going to taste, you're going to smell, you're going to feel, you're going to see, and you're going to hear. I'm going to bring all five senses to bear in the bread and the wine. You see, Jesus' body is in heaven. He can't come to earth and show up with everybody. He says, so what I'm going to do, he said, is I'm going to allow there to be a supernatural experience in bread and wine where you can sense my personal presence. A true sacrament has the presence of God. Now, if you love to worship like I do, I love to sing. So many of us have playlists of great worship songs. And if I'd ask you, do you ever sense the presence of the Lord when you sing or when you listen to worship music? Most people would say yes. Or have you ever been in a prayer meeting where you sense the presence of the Lord? We'd say yes, absolutely. When you commune, we should sense the same presence of the Lord. Not a pseudo presence, not a make-believe or facsimile, but the real presence of the Lord is there. I call it his personal presence. He's really there. His spirit is really there. If we could open our eyes, we could see his actual presence among us. So your role in the Lord's Supper is this. You just bring your little bit of faith and you come and receive. And God brings his ton of grace, his unmerited favor from heaven, meets your little bit of faith, and he pours out into you the blessings of grace. Second word is the word remembrance. I told you we'd talk about that a little bit. I don't want to be technical, certainly not on a day like today, but this is a heavy-duty word. It's anamnesis. And it's a word that means to actively take a past event and relive it now. That's what it means. Take something in the past. Just don't remember it, but relive it. Represent it. It's as if you and I were at the foot of the cross, as if you and I were at the empty tomb. It's as if you or I were on the day of Pentecost. We are bringing it to remembrance. In the grace of the Lord's Supper, the past act of God becomes operative now. Let me say that again. God did something in salvation history. We know it up here. In a sacrament, when we remember, it's an event that takes that thing in the past and makes it real today. And I would say it this way, it is not less real than if you were actually there 2,000 years ago. The feeling is the same. Number three, the third word, is the word participation. We join in the very life of God by faith, there's that operative word, by faith, through partaking of the bread and the wine. It's called communion. Why is the Lord's Supper called communion? Because we commune with God. We fellowship with God. We're joining in the very life of God himself. And the very life of God has peace and has joy. The Bible says we've got these precious promises that we can partake of the life of God. Are you afraid today? I don't think God's afraid. Are you angry today? I don't think God's lives in anger. Are you uncertain? I don't think God's uncertain. In the Lord's Supper, we partake of his life. And that participation gives us the life of God. And the last one here is the word proclamation. The Bible says we proclaim his death until he comes. In communion, we make a faith declaration of the full impact of Jesus' victory at the cross. It goes something like this. I know in the Passover, in the Old Testament, 1500 AD, when Moses is bringing the nation of Israel out of Egypt, they instituted a Passover, and there was lots and lots of blessings to it. You were delivered from slavery. That was a pretty good blessing. You were protected from other nations' armies. You now knew there was one God. His name was Yahweh. You've now seen his mighty acts. You have been healed of the plague, the pestilence, and promised provision in the wilderness. And you're actually even given manna from heaven to eat. That's pretty fantastic. Now the Bible says in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, we've got better promises. We're not delivered from Egypt. We're delivered from sin. We're delivered from Satan and all of sin results. All the ramifications of sin, God's turned the course of history. We're protected not from natural armies, but Satan and all his hosts. We now just don't know that there's one God named Yahweh. We now have fellowship with God. We know God personally through Christ, his Son. Not only do we have protection of our bodies, we have healing of our bodies, souls, and minds. We don't have manna coming down from heaven, but we have a sure word coming down from heaven. And all the promises of God in that word are yes and amen. As we prepare to close this out today, you might ask yourself, what do I need to bring to the table? And this is what you need to bring to the table today. You bring to the table of the Lord your faith. Do you have faith in Christ today? That's all God asks. You don't have to be heroic. Having done some great feat of love for humanity, those all are worthy, but it doesn't make you right with God. Bring your faith, then examine your heart and ask yourself, am I right with God? Am I loving my neighbor? And where you're not right with God, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to get right with God. Take that sin that so easily besets all of us and ask God to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then partake of the Lord's Supper worthily. And as you partake of it worthily, you remember all that the Lord has done for you and all that the Lord has given you and all that Jesus has purchased on the cross, and his real presence is now available. And you say, Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, I want to receive this worthily, not based on my own righteousness, but I receive these elements based on what Jesus has done for me. Children can do this. A 10-year-old can commune. An 8-year-old, even a 6-year-old, I think can understand that in these elements, Christ is coming to him or her. And that to be worthy is just to receive all that Jesus has given them. So in homes all across the world today, I've asked you to prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. I'm prepared here. I'm going to take three or four minutes right now in this sermon to give you a time to do two things. If you need to gather some elements, ordinary bread would work. A grape juice would work. Matter of fact, I'd say any kind of juice would work. Just as long as you would not make it so common that it would lose significance. But a juice would work. Something special to drink would work. Prepare some bread or crackers. Prepare something to drink. And I'm going to ask Clay, our worship director here at New Life, and a small group of musicians to again lead us in worship. We've sang earlier today, and now to lead us back into His presence while you gather your elements, you examine your hearts, and you prepare to receive a healing today in your body. Amen.
cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy. Is the Lamb of God. You're the Lamb that was slain, and your blood, it washes us clean.
That was slain, you're the pure, spotless Lamb. I pray as the musicians sang and ministered that you felt the presence of the Lord like I feel Him here with us today. Jesus is present. There's healing in the Lord's Supper. The Bible says the night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it. And He said, this is my body broken for you. If you have bread now, would you take the bread, break it, and go ahead and take a piece of bread wherever you're at. Children, parents, take a piece of bread and let's eat the bread together. The Bible says, in the same way He took a cup, He gave thanks for the cup, and He said, this cup is a cup of a new covenant in my blood. Matthew says it's for the forgiveness of sin. It's not a cup of condemnation. It's not a cup of legalism. It's not a cup of judgment. The Bible says it's a cup of blessing for all in Christ. Fathers, mothers, singles, would you now take the juice, the wine that you prepared, and let's partake together. Let me pray over your families, over your homes, over your minds and bodies, that your precious faith in Christ would be strengthened today. You'd have faith to endure, and not only endure, but faith to have victory. Father, I pray today in Jesus' name that as we partook of the bread in the sacrament of Holy Communion, that Jesus' body was remembered, and the healing and deliverance of the bread representing His body came to each one of us. The real presence of the Lord was in and around and under these elements today. And Lord, I thank You that this juice, upon being blessed, was more than juice, but it became to us the life-giving blood of the Lord Jesus. And I pray today, O God, that every household that's received these elements today would have divine healing. And I declare and proclaim over your homes that the pandemic would pass over and not touch any of you or your loved ones. Keep the shield of faith strong. I also pray for those that have financial concerns, that this would be the hour where your faith rises and God shows Himself faithful in your finances. I pray for young adults and children and seniors and those with a multitude of concerns and issues. Today, be strengthened in the Lord's presence by partaking of the Lord's body and blood. God bless you. If you have any needs, go to our website and a couple places you can check in. We'll be glad to get back with you. We'll be here again next Sunday. Join us for a daily prayer time at noon. On Facebook, jump in for that. You saw the stuff the youth's doing. And I pray that this pandemic would turn and we'd soon be able to gather again together in the house of the Lord. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. Amen.